And so Matthew chapter number 9, we come to the life again in the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's fairly new into his ministry here. And as the Lord is traveling along and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 9, if you'll please stand with me as we honor the word of God, verse number 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And the Bible says, excuse me, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. With God's help tonight, I would like to preach a message titled, The Most Neglected Resource in Missions. May God bless the reading of his word. Please go ahead and be seated. Let me ask you a question tonight as we lay the format for the message. How would you, and perhaps all of us would have a different answer tonight based upon our experiences and understanding of missions, but how do you believe the Great Commission is to be obeyed? The Great Commission, of course, is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, discipling, baptizing, making converts, establishing New Testament Baptist churches. But how do you believe the Great Commission is to be obeyed? It was pioneer missionary, the man who's known as the father of modern missions, a missionary William Carey to India. He said this, and he answered the question, it can only be accomplished through prayer and effort. He says, first, there must be definite, fervent, and united prayer. He says, this is how absolute dependence on God is properly expressed. And prayer to God is the only real hope for the success of any venture, especially this one. It was William Carey who penned the words, and he said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. William Carey was known to be a man of prayer. He was known to be a man of faith. He was known to be a man of effort. And he states that prayer is the only real hope for the success of any venture as we delve into the work of God. I believe this, that prayer must undergird all forms of Christian service. And when we begin to assess the Great Commission effort of churches today, I believe and I fear that prayer has become the great omission and not the great need of our churches today. Matthew chapter number 9, verse 35 through 38, it illustrates the vital importance that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed on prayer. When the Lord Jesus saw the multitudes scattered as sheep with no shepherd, he did not command us to plan. He did not command us to strategize. He did not command us to organize. He did not command us to mobilize. But the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to pray. He did not command us to get a missionary team to go to the to take a toll as to what needs to be done and how we can do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ first told us, before we organize and mobilize and strategize, the very first thing that we need to do as New Testament Christians, as we are involved in the great endeavor of reaching the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that we must begin on our knees seeking the God of grace and the God of power to empower us. God gave us prayer, I believe, not just to be able to have our needs met at the throne of grace, but I believe God gave us prayer tonight because God gave us a mission to complete. When the Lord Jesus Christ was looking at these lost souls and these scattered souls without a shepherd, he made a statement about the harvest. He said, the harvest truly is great. Do you know what that means? You might not have thought about this way, but it means this, that up until that point of time, all the time that was given was time of sowing. It was time of sowing. It was seed time. It was a time of sowing the seed and sowing the seed. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is saying he has come into this world to redeem man. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And now Jesus Christ is on the scene in this new dispensation of grace. And we live in a time underneath the grace of God where it is a harvest time where souls are able to turn to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That mission that he gave us to reach preached all the way to the uttermost parts of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a mission that is impossible without the aid and without the help and without the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me say this tonight. It is impossible without the intervention of God as we attack the gates of hell. Do we really think tonight that we could invade Satan's territory? Do you really believe that we could involve ourselves in the middle of Satan's work and to interfere his work without the power of God, without the prayer of God, without the hand of God in doing what we are doing? Do you really think lost souls around the world could come to Christ and we could be victorious in the gospel ministry if we have not sought the God of grace and God of power at his throne as we endeavor to defeat Satan in his very actions and his very deeds as he deceives souls thinking that they don't need Jesus Christ? We got another thing coming. When we look at the gospel ministry and we look at the gospel getting to the uttermost parts of the world, if prayer is not our first resource in the work of God, listen, then our priorities are out of order. See, the goal of missions, I believe, as I stated this morning, is the glory of God. And do you really believe tonight that we could glorify God in the work we can do without the power of God and as we seek the power of God through prayer? Do you really believe that laborers can be victorious and successful in the endeavors of reaching souls without the power of God and without praying the Lord of the harvest for more laborers? I think not. Folks, listen, we have a great need tonight, and that great need tonight is to recognize the priority of prayer in missions. I believe this tonight, as I stated earlier, that the greatest neglected resource we have in church today is prayer. We have neglected prayer at the utmost, at the expense of strategizing and mobilizing and raising funds. Believe me, we need to strategize. We need to mobilize. We need to organize. But if we think that we could do that without prayer, you got another thing coming. I believe that we have been, listen, I believe we have been bamboozled and we have been deceived all these years to think that a missions conference, and you got one coming up, I didn't know this, and it takes a great faith in a pastor to have a missionary come just a few weeks before a missions conference and pick them up. Listen, folks, I'm very thankful and very humbled by the faith of your pastor and by the love your church has shown us. But if we think that a missions conference and missionary endeavors has anything to do with money, we got another thing coming. We have been sorely deceived, because if we think it's about money, if we're 10% or 12% or 20% our budget, we sit back and we say, hey, we've done our work. It's not about money, folks. And I'm very thankful your pastor has said earlier that we are not setting a budget, because we're going to work with what God has given us. And it takes a man of faith and a work of faith to say, hey, if this is what God has given us, then this is exactly what we are going to work with. We need to have a recognition of priority in our missions tonight. And the priority is this: prayer. If the greatest failure in missions today is the failure to pray, folks, we need to get back to our prayer life. And that failure, listen, when we fail to pray, it takes God out of the picture. It takes God out of the scene. And it relegates missions to this: nothing more than manpower, nothing more than ability, and nothing more than statistics. I believe this: we need men with gifts. We need men with the Holy Spirit. We need men filled with the power of God. We need churches on their face praying. But listen, folks, we need to know the statistics in order to wage an intelligent warfare. But more than any of that, we need God. I believe tonight that when you and I neglect prayer and missions, it's like attempting to push a train uphill rather than getting in the engineer's seat and harnessing the power of the locomotive engine to pull the load. We must not attempt to do missions tonight in the power of man based upon a budget or based upon ability, but we must approach the throne of God with grace, by faith, with boldness, where all the power of heaven can be harnessed into God's children as they seek to defeat Satan. We must never attempt missionary endeavors without the power of God. Just before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to glory, he gave one last command to his disciples. After 3 years of teaching, after 3 years of training, and after 3 years of preparing them to go to the world with the gospel, listen, folks, his command was to wait. His command was not to say, hey, Peter, go there into Jerusalem and find out how many nations were represented last year at Pentecost. He didn't go there and find out what the leaders of those families did for a living. He didn't go there and find out what kind of music they would like during Pentecost. No, the Lord Jesus Christ looked at Peter and looked at his disciples, and he said, wait. They that wait upon the Lord, amen, shall renew their strength. We need to be still and know that He is God. The Lord Jesus Christ was informing them that they must wait for the power and the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. And both in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and Acts chapter 1, verse number 4, it records the instruction. The Lord was informing them that they dare not ever attempt to do the work of God, and that they dare not ever attempt to carry out the Great Commission until the power of God was descended. And listen, their obedient response was to return to the upper room and continue in prayer until God said, now it's time. Until they seen those cloven tongue like fire assembling upon them. Until they were endued from on high with the power of God and given gifts by the Holy Spirit. We need an admission tonight, and this admission is this. Our greatest priority in the work of God is not to cover the earth with the gospel. Let me say that again. Our greatest priority is not to cover the earth with the gospel. Our greatest priority must be to stop for a moment and openly admit that we have a need for God and of God, and that we can never attempt to do missionary efforts on the assumption that we can do anything to bring souls to Christ in and of ourselves. You and I must acknowledge tonight that the task before us will require help. It will require power of the Spirit of God. And we must obediently fall on our knees in prayer, asking God for more laborers to be sent into the harvest field. I believe prayer is vital tonight, because prayer is an open admission that without Christ, you and I can do nothing. I don't know how many men were here in the prayer meeting yesterday at 8 a.m. I imagine there were maybe 12 or so. I don't know. But I'm not the pastor here, but I wish that one of these prayer meetings could be recorded. And so those who do not come can listen to God's men of this church lift up the banner of the cross and pray for people by name with tears. And to hear a young man yesterday in tears thanking God for men of this church that he could look up to, that he could follow them and know that they have the mind of God. And a young man thanking God for his dad to teach him the ways of God. I wish tonight that we could play the recording yesterday where the men of this church join in unity, seeking the power of God for the service today, praying for missionaries and praying for the sick and afflicted and the wayward of this church. I wish you could have heard it yesterday. It was a glorious time. It was a wonderful time seeking the power of God, and praise God for that. But listen, folks, prayer is vital because it's an open admission that without Christ, you and I could do nothing. You see, when we get alone and we get on our knees before God and we begin to pray, listen, folks, we are saying, God, you are our confidence. God, you will provide. God, you are our help in time of need. You see, prayer humbles us as we become needy for God, and it exalts God as the all-sufficient one. Amen. Aren't you thankful that God's all-sufficient? Aren't you thankful that God is Jehovah Jireh? He is the God that provides. Aren't you thankful that when you cry out to God for help, there God has that ram in the thicket providing the very need for your soul and for your life? Aren't you thankful that the power of God is able to overcome even the most difficult situations? Listen, folks, prayer is the acknowledgement that we need God in the missionary endeavors of our churches. We need confession of our dependence tonight. I believe that prayer is the expression of need and the confession of dependence on God. An attitude of prayer is just the opposite of an attitude of independence. You see, tonight, when we begin to leave God out of our missionary endeavors and we begin to stop praying, we put our efforts, and we live in our efforts at only what is humanly possible. I wish I could take you tonight to Sri Lanka. Many years ago, as I went up to the Temple of the Tooth, where they actually bow down, they believe to be the tooth of Buddha. Whether this is whether this is the real tooth or not, I don't know. And honestly, it really doesn't matter. The fact is that they have this tooth over there in Kandy that they believe is the tooth of Buddha. And you got mothers with their babies kneeling down in front of this tooth, rocking back and forth, beating their chest. There was one father who had a crippled and lame son who was walking through the temple, seeking the prayers of the priests. Do you really believe, folks, that we're able to reach these people in the power of human endeavors? Listen, folks, if we are going to see the glorious gospel of the light of salvation break through this darkness, it can't be done with human efforts. It must be done in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, folks, I believe this. That prayer is the greatest resource in missions because it's only through prayerful admission of our need and confession of our dependence upon God. Supernatural power is what we need tonight. We cannot even begin to lighten a darkened world in and of ourselves. Do we really think that we could have success in reaching souls with money, with budgets, with balances, and with statistics? You got another thing coming. We need laborers, and laborers only come through prayer of God's people, knowing that there's a genuine need to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Missions is a spiritual task, and therefore it requires the Spirit of God. But I believe that the lack of urgency might be the result of a lack of awareness of the size and the greatness of the task. Given the gospel to 6 billion plus people, almost 7 billion upon the earth now, it's an impossible task without power, without blessing, without guidance. If you will tonight, I want to give you some statistics. Statistics is not the answer, but gives us an understanding as to what's going on in missions today. I want you to consider the magnitude of missions. In our text tonight, Jesus identified the harvest as being plenteous. Did he not? It is plenteous. That word plenteous, it means great in number. So consider the magnitude before us. Approximately one-third of this world claims to be Christian. What that means is Baptist, Catholic, Protestant, and the rest of the religions the world looks at as the umbrella of Christianity. One-third of the world claims to be Christian. They believe that they are a child of God. And there's another large percentage of the world that live among the evangelized, and they're not Christians. No, they live in areas where there are churches, and they live in areas where there are missionaries, and they do have at least a partial access to the truth. We could take you from mission field to mission field that is dark, but there are missionaries there. They represent the light of the gospel, and they're preaching the gospel. But consider just one half of the world population for a moment that knows nothing about Jesus Christ. I mean, nothing about him whatsoever. Most of them have never even heard of the name of Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate the magnitude of 1 billion people. It would require 40,000 trips around the world to equal 1 billion miles. If we reach 10,000 of these unreached people every day with the gospel of Christ, it would take 978 years to reach them all. If every church planted among the unreached people group grew to 3,000 members, it would require nearly 1.1 million churches just for the unreached half of the world. Can I tell you something? In human endeavors, that is a impossibility. The vast army of unreached people groups have no access to the truth. I'm talking about nowhere to go. I'm talking about nobody to call, nobody to counsel with, not a church available, and nowhere, no how, no means, no way. Listen, folks. There are a vast unreached people group in this world today that have no access to the truth. There is nowhere they could go to learn about the truth of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are no churches and there are no missionaries among them. And if the ratio of churches to people in North Africa were applied, listen, to North America, there would only be 7 churches in all of the United States of America. Do you know this, folks, that independent Baptists are sending 85% of their missionaries to 15 different countries, while 85 countries are there without one missionary? We are using nearly 85% of our resources, spending it on areas that have already been reached. Now, there's nothing wrong with reaching areas that have already been reached. But when we have nearly half of the population of the world that has yet to be reached, folks, it's an impossible endeavor without the power of Christ. And so these unreached people group, listen, they speak over 5,000 languages, which still do not have one verse of scripture in their language. Listen, folks, consider the harvest for a moment. It was Woodrow Kroll in his book, In the Vanishing Ministry, in the 21st century. He said this: the average missionary has the potential to impact the lives of 5,000 people. At this rate, it would require over 640,000 missionaries just to reach the unreached half of the world. He said, at present, there are only about 4,000 independent Baptist missionaries attempting to complete that mission. The makeup company Avon has over 4 million representatives in over 100 different countries. I mean, Would we think tonight then, does Avon care more about selling makeup and perfume that God's churches and people have to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Consider, folks, listen tonight, the attrition rate of the laborers. Only one half of those who surrender to missions actually prepare to go. Only one half of those who prepare actually begin deputation. Only one half of those who begin deputation finish it and go to the field. Only one half of those who go to the field do not return for a second term. Do I need to give illustrations about how many men have come to the state of Montana and left? Listen, folks, the attrition rate is great. Missionaries are getting older, and the age of missionaries going to the field is getting greater, and more aged missionaries are reaching the field, and more aged missionaries are coming off the field, and we're losing a generation there. We need to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. But listen, there is a solution. We are not without hope tonight. We are not without the power of God tonight. If the greatest failure in missions is prayer, then the solution is to rededicate ourselves to prayer. That just makes common sense, doesn't it? The solution is to recognize that we have a need tonight and our need for God, and recognize that the task before us to reach the world with the gospel is too great to attempt to do it without power and the blessing of God. I wish tonight we could see the reality. The word most frequently used for prayer in the Bible is a word that denotes coming into the presence of God and facing him. And listen, this is the kind of prayer we need. You realize that only in the presence of God tonight will the futility and the weakness of human efforts will be exposed. In the presence of God, hypocrisy and human frailty and the ineffectiveness of human efforts are laid bare in his presence and laid open, and we realize that we are undone. Nothing cleanses the heart of sin, folks. Nothing gets rid of selfish agendas. Nothing gets rid of earthly pursuits and worldly passions like coming into the presence of God and into the throne room of God and beseeching the God of heaven. And only in the presence of God tonight can our hearts be united. Only in the presence of God do we understand the purpose of God, and only then will we realize the need of the great situation that lies before us in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, when we begin to pray, it becomes clear. It becomes crystal clear. All the puzzle pieces that seem as if they were missing, they begin to come together. We're not only going to see, we will see that not only must the world hear the gospel, and we all agree that the world needs to hear the gospel tonight, but also that the preaching of the gospel itself must be accompanied with power of the Holy Spirit of God. The previous facts that I gave you about laborers and about missionaries and these statistics, they're not intended to call somebody into the harvest field. They're not intended to call forth laborers. I can't call a laborer into the harvest field. We need to pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth the laborers into harvest. I don't want a man behind the pulpit that's been preacher called and daddy sent. Want one that's got the power and unction of God, one that knows the mind of God, one that hates sin and fears God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. We are living in a day and age today where the pulpits are filled with mealy-mouthed, yelly-belly, Oscar Mayer wiener preachers that don't know the mind of God and have never been in touch with the power of God. We need men called of God with a vision and with a burden and with an unction. Oh God, send us more laborers that know your mind and know your heart. And see, folks, listen, it becomes clear tonight. Laborers need to be exposed to the preaching of the gospel themselves. They need to be exposed to the power of God themselves. And listen, everything that's being said tonight is not intended for us to say, hey, I want you and I want you. Everything that's being said tonight is intended to drive us on our knees so that God will call forth more laborers. See, we just don't need concerned laborers. We need God-called laborers. We need God-sent laborers. We need laborers who have been alone with God. We need laborers who have been truly invited God into their lives and sensed the call of God upon their heart. We need laborers who will never forget their own need to be often found at the throne of grace. And listen, there are going to be those in our churches who will stay. Those who choose to stay at home because God has not called them, you need to commit yourself to covering your laborers and more laborers in prayer. You need to send forth your faith promised missions money so that they can go and they could work and they could be supported. Listen, folks, when we begin to support missionary endeavors with finances alone, we have failed in our missionary endeavors. Do you really believe that we are doing great with God's resources if all we have is financial resources? we are neglecting the greatest resource, and that is prayer. I believe this, that the lack of prayer leaves God out of the picture. How many times have I sat at Calvary Baptist Church in Niagara Falls, New York, as we began to work and orchestrate, and God began to work here and there, then to come to find out that we had no finances left in the bank. I remember there was a time, it took nearly 2 years for the church to trust me to be able to deal with some of the finances and to begin to make the budgets and know what was going on. And what brought them to that point is that the church got down to like $74.11 in the account. And I told the church, if you can't give me authority over these things, then I don't need to be your preacher. Very simple. How am I supposed to oversee if you don't let me oversee? Not to have control, but to oversee and manage and orchestrate the affairs of the church. And I was looking at all the missionaries we were picking up and seeing the need of the church and looking at $74 or $78.11 in our account and thinking, man, we're going to be shutting this church down. We can't pay the bills. It was as if the Lord smacked me in the back of the head with the Holy Spirit backslap and said, do you really think that the strength and the ability and the power of the church is based upon money that's in the bank? And little did I know, the next week the Lord blessed with a $7,400 offering. God has a way to take care of his work, but it's not financially, folks. We have programs, don't we? I'm thankful for programs in churches today. I'm thankful for churches that got programs for every age group and every person and every need. I'm thankful for social activities in the church. I'm thankful for youth programs and kids clubs and senior adult fellowships. We had a senior adult fellowship that we called the More Mature Group. They really weren't more mature, but I'm thankful for these things. But where are the prayer programs? You go to national fellowship meetings and most of the preachers are on the golf course not seeking God's face at the altar for power. Now, I know I probably just stepped on some toes, but the simple fact is this. If we would focus on prayer on our knees rather than our golf score, I think we could get more done in the work of God. And I'm not shooting down a preacher spending time in leisure, relaxing. He needs that. Listen, your preacher needs that. This preacher needs that. But when we put it before the power of God and our prayer time, and our laboring in prayer for laborers, listen, we have done wrong. When did you ever hear of a church who stated its goal is to pray more for the missionaries that they do have? If I was to ask you tonight if you could name 5 missionaries by name and their family members and their latest need of their prayer requests, missionaries that you support, could you do that? I'm not trying to shoot you down tonight. I'm trying to press upon your heart. There's a need to pray for laborers and the laborers that you do have. Folks, are we asking God to send our young people or keep our young people here because our churches are getting older and we need more young people to stay back? Are we asking God to send our young people? Are we really interested in a successful mission and endeavor? There are programs for every people group in churches today, but the prayer groups and prayer programs are lacking. One preacher said this, if we do not pray, we are at play. You see, our missionary effort must become more than just a program. It becomes the prayerful work of the church. Your work as a church is to pray. Pray fervently, pray long, pray hot. Pray hard, pray systematically for God to send forth the laborers into the harvest fields. Listen, in a very real sense, God has chosen, I don't understand this, but all I could tell you and relay what God has shown me and what the Word of God says, that God has chosen to link His great and mighty works only to the prayers of His people. And when God's people don't pray, God doesn't work. And listen, the gospel does not get accomplished. To put it bluntly, if we will not pray, God will not work. We need to sense God tonight. It's been said when man works, we can see what man can do. When man prays, we see what God can do. Amen? Prayer brings the power of God into the efforts of man. It multiplies, listen, 10,000 of man's potential to do good. Prayer moves. It moves into the realm of human sphere of activity and makes the impossible possible. It's the most powerful part of missions to unreached people because it enlists God to do what we cannot do in and of ourselves. When you look at Acts chapter 4, verse number 29, when they prayed, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. And the Lord granted their a request. And then in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, folks, Peter and John could have preached the gospel without prayer. But the boldness and the power necessary in that atmosphere of persecution in which they live, listen, folks, it could only be obtained from God. Prayer was necessary for them to preach the word of God with boldness. I want to tell you a story. You have no idea how important it is for you to pray for the safety of your missionaries. You know, when you look at the gospel of Jesus Christ and you look at Matthew chapter 9, the Lord is telling them to send to pray to for more laborers. You go to chapter 10, and guess who is being sent out to be laborers? The ones who were praying. He looked at them, pray therefore, Lord of the harvest, and guess what? Immediately he sends them out. It seems to me that the ones who get called out are the ones from his congregation, amen? But we find here that as the Lord Jesus Christ is beginning to send them out in chapter 10, he talks to them about healing the sick and going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, provide neither gold or silver. You know, so he's talking to them. Pray for laborers. Pray for power. Pray for provision. Pray for their safety. Pray for their protection, because he's sending them as lambs among wolves. Pray for their protection. I wish we had time tonight to do an exposition of that text in chapter 10. But I want to show you a testimony tonight how important it is for you to pray for those who go as lambs among wolves. The majority of our ministry, you've seen in the video, we were working with other missionaries. We worked with Brother Terry Unruh. We worked with Charlie Bias, and we worked with Stephen Sorrell. And Brother Steve Sorrell lived 2 hours north of us, and Steve called me one day, and we watched his work for 6 months while he was home on furlough. And he said, Brother Matt, he said, Muhad was almost beheaded. Muhad was a man up northeast of that area that you've seen where those Muslims were. He was a man who was a leader in his mosque that got saved under Steve's ministry. And he said, Muhad was almost beheaded. He's in Baticolo, which is about 12 hours from us. He said, can you help me? We need to go and get Muhad out of the hospital and bring him back to my house before they kill him. He said, you were in the Marine Corps, right? You could provide security? Like, yeah, right. I got my K-bar. Then I remember I was like Danielson and doing the crane technique and wax on, wax off. And, you know, but I said, of course, Steve, I'll come and help you. So I got my family together. We packed and we drove 2 hours up north to Steve's place. And there we talked about the trip. We talked about the dangers of this trip, a very dangerous trip. We're going to Muslim territory. And we were talking to our families, and here's our life insurance, and here's what to do. If something happens to us, this is what you need to do. And so we're making plans for the worst and expecting the best. And we drive 12 hours up to Baticolo, to the hospital there, and we get Muhad. And there you find Muhad. His head is bandaged up. His arm is bandaged up, because he was walking down the street just a day or two before that. And a leader in the mosque that did not like Muhad getting saved and being vocal about his profession of faith was riding by in a bicycle with a sword and went to cut off his head. Muhad, at the last moment, turned around, seen it, and he blocked the sword. The sword severed his two end fingers and stuck in his forehead. And so we quickly get Muhad, and we pick him up, and we put him in the back of the van, where a 15-passenger van that we took the two back seats out of. We close the door, and as me and Steve close the door, I look around, and we're surrounded by 200 to 250 Muslims. These Muslims had saws, picks, axes, shovels, garden hose, knives, swords, you name it. They're around us. And I looked at Steve, and Steve looked at me, and there was a fear of God that came over me like I can't explain. But then there's a peace. I looked at Steve, and in my heart, I thought, I'm done. I thought, I've done what God's called me to do. And as I'm looking around, I hear this, Mr. Matthew. And I turn around. It was Major Bertie Padatta of the Sri Lankan Army that I became friends with almost 2 years previously during tsunami relief. This major, who you've seen in the video, had a truckload of Sri Lankan soldiers with M16s and AK-47s. And I walked up to him. I said, Major, I said, you have no idea how glad I am to see you. He says, Mr. Matthew, what are you doing here? I said, well, we came to help out a friend. And when I turned around, all those Muslims were gone. They were vanished. We got in the van and we were driving back to Colombo, and I broke down crying. I believed that God's people were praying for our safety. Steve looked at me. He says, "Matt, do you believe that he was an angel?" I said, "Don't matter. I don't care. We're safe." It could have been. Be careful not to entertain angels and unawares. We're trying to help out the Sri Lankan army. I'm an officer. And the tsunami relief became friends with him. He was a Roman Catholic. He was getting very, very close to being saved. Pray for your missionaries. Pray that God would keep him safe and effective in the gospel ministry. Prayer is necessary. See, Paul recognized the futility of preaching the gospel without the prayers of God's people. We're doing a tsunami relief effort up on the East Coast, and we were going out to this village that we already had planned out. We had the names of the people that needed and their needs, and so we bought according to the need of each family, whether it was clothes, whether it was water, whether it was food, or if they were a seamstress, we bought them a sewing machine and material so they could get back to work to make clothes, to be able to make a living again. And men who were fishermen, we bought fishing nets in order for them to be able to go fishing again, to put fish on the market and make money for their family. And so we're taking care of the humanitarian work as well as the spiritual work, but we get to this village, and we already had everybody in the village. We knew what they needed, and we start giving the needs out to the people. And before I started, I preached a message about 25 minutes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I'm looking around, there's a village down the road that we had not planned to minister to. We only had about $5,000 sent to us for tsunami relief. We had to spend it very wisely. We didn't have a lot of money. $5,000 could go in about 5 minutes in a need like a country like that. And this angry mob of another village came over demanding from us. And we couldn't fulfill the need of the people. And here this lady with a ball peen hammer comes charging at my wife and my children. And I quickly get my wife, my children, and the workers and tell them to get back into the van. And we drove outside the village. And then we drove out to the army checkpoint. You see, there were no children in the village that day, because the children were killed by the tsunami. And here, a white American family with healthy children were there. And they had no other way to respond. I remember when we first started doing tsunami relief, there was a lady that we were trying to minister to. And I was using Gobi as an interpreter because the language is Tamil. And I began to talk to her about Jesus Christ. And she looked at me, she says, "You talk to me about a God of love?" She said, "Let me talk to you about a God of love." She said, "When those tsunami waters were coming in, I had my baby in this arm, and I'm holding on to a coconut tree with this arm. I'm holding on to my baby for your dear life. And the waters come and take my baby away. You talk to me about a God of love? Do you really think that we could reach people in our own power? Do you really think people can be convinced that there is a God of love without the power of God and the prayers of God's people praying for more laborers?" Paul recognized the futility in the gospel ministry without prayer. He said it this way: "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Amen? That I may open my mouth boldly. We get to Sri Lanka and we begin to evangelize our village on a Saturday morning. And after about 2 hours of reaching every home we could in the village, I go back to my house. It's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's about 110 degrees out. And I decide to go into my bedroom and turn on the air conditioning and cool down and take an afternoon nap. And no sooner do I lay down than the doorbell rings. I look outside of the balcony of the bedroom, and here's a man, our neighbor who lived across the street from us, and he's standing there with the gospel tract in his hand. And I'm getting excited, folks. I'm thinking, praise God, somebody's been convicted. They're going to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. We've only been in country a few weeks, and we're going to start a church. And I run downstairs, open up the gate, and here's the man with the tract in this hand, a saw blade in this hand. He says, "What is this?" I said, "It's the truth." "Truth? What is truth?" I said, if you knew the truth, would you not want to tell somebody? He said, no. And he ripped up the track and threw it in my face. And before we knew it, for the next month, we had riots outside of our house every day for with nearly 200 Buddhists trying to get in. We had a 6-foot concrete parapet wall about a foot thick surrounding our home. They couldn't get in with an iron gate. Do you really think that we could really reach the world without the power of God? Do you really think that missionaries can be faithful if they're not able to speak the word with boldness? Folks, prayer is necessary. Paul saw prayer as being necessary. You see, we notice in Paul's prayer that he prayed for boldness to do what they were already commanded to do, to preach the gospel of Christ. Paul realizes, we need to realize this tonight, that obedience to the command without prayer and the power of God accompanies nothing, and our work is useless. Prayer is the great mission, is the great need of missions today. It's the most neglected resource that God has given us in missions. And some people might contend tonight that the preaching of the gospel is the real work of missions. And I believe it is a work of missions. But to preach the gospel without labors that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, without the power of God, we are useless. But we need to consider tonight the possibility that prayer is the real work of missions tonight. And God's ultimate goal and God's ultimate purpose is gathering some from every kindred, some from every tribe, and some from every nation as they surround the throne. And listen, folks, and as William Carey said, it could only be accomplished through prayer and effort. The great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted about the multitudes is to us. And it's not only our responsibility tonight to preach the gospel to them, but it's also our responsibility to intercede for the laborers to go to them. Our greatest resource for missions, listen tonight, is the throne room of God, which is the most neglected resource. You think about the resources we have in missions. Our missionary effort is in tremendous need of those who will first, through study and research, become aware of the great need for those that must drive their knees at the throne room of God. We must recognize the impossibility of the task that lies before us without God. We must abide at the throne room of God. We must allow His presence to affect our life. We must allow Him to work through us as He begins to develop churches and ministers of the gospel that are filled with the power of God because they sought the power of God. We must allow God to burden our hearts tonight to pray for more laborers. Such a stirring of God upon our hearts should be to understand. We need to understand it tonight, that God wants to work through us. Folks, I want to end with this. Prayer is not a waste of time. It is the work of missions. How are you working in missions tonight? Do you have the resource that you have neglected? Do you pray? With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I'm going to ask my wife to come, and I'm going to send her out at the last minute to play for the invitation, if that's okay. Brother, Barbara, if you could come. And we're going to have an invitation tonight. I'm going to ask you, if God has stirred your heart, if God has burdened you and broken you, to get back to the throne room of God on your knees to pray for missions and pray for missionaries and pray for the power of God, I'm going to ask you tonight to make use of what God has commanded and called you to do, and to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into His harvest. Folks, you need to be praying and seeking the face of God that He would do the impossible task as we seek to intervene and speak to a God who can do all things possible if we would only trust, if we would only obey.